Blog Talk Radio.
A lot of us in this house tonight, we're on the potter's wheel right now. And it's not comfortable. It doesn't feel good. But we need to just take solace in the fact that even though it may not feel good right now, as long as I'm in his hands, I know that everything is going to be all right. Just touch somebody, look them in the face, and tell them, I'm in his hands.
We tend to forget. It is good to be back. It is good to be back. It is good to be back. I tell you, it's been a long time, and I've missed you so, so much. Well, hello, hello, hello. It is Sunday, November 18th. I am your host, sanctified and set apart with a shot of the Holy Ghost. I am Pastor D. Townsend, and welcome to the Jubilee Affair, Season 2. Brought to you always by the HubNet Online Network. This is God's show for God's people. As always, I am joined by the good brother, Hakim Nuba.
Hey, good evening, sir. How you been?
I'm blessed out there. It's good to hear your voice, and it's good to know that God is still in a blessing business, Doc.
Same here, sir. Same here. It was a pleasure. Back in.
Oh, yeah. Now, inquiring minds want to know, what have you been doing since we have had our little sabbatical?
I'm never bored, man. I just keep working and working and working. I have a graphic design company, and you know, I'm always doing something. I'm actually taking a break from writing a business plan for someone so I can do the show tonight, and I'll be getting right back to it. The money train got to keep rolling, right?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Absolutely. Absolutely. Thank you. Know, I often tell people and members of the flock, you know, that it would be a blessing if we all lived and could breathe and do our business off of air, because everybody would be rich. It would be a true blessing if we could. But you know what? Like you said, the money train keeps going, and in order to eat, you got to have the finances, and you know, that's just the way of the world. Until the good master comes back and eliminate all that stuff, Doctor, we have to render unto Caesar what is due unto Caesar.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Amen. Yes, sir. So it's good. I'm happy you're back with me, Doctor, and I'm happy that we can move forward, and God is truly going to bless on this Sunday, and I am just so humbled to know that He has still been moving in all of our lives, and that He's keeping us focused. And you know, I'll be the first to tell you, I couldn't wait for Sunday to get here, not only to preach in at my home based church, but just to get on here as well and speak to the audience. It's just a blessing, just a true blessing. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
But and to God's people, if you are in need of prayer or anything that you may need that I can help you with, you can contact us on the Jubilee Affair Facebook page. You can also tweet the HubNet Online Network. But the quickest way is to call the show, 646-787-1798. Again, that number is 646-787-1798. 9-8. During this broadcast, you can have the opportunity to call in and discuss whatever you want with me and Brother Kim. If you need prayer requests, that's the time that you can call in. If you want to discuss the message that you heard, or if you want to have something you want to add to the message, during that time, it is it's your right to call in and to speak with us. Amen. It's that's what we open the lines up for. So that is the time at the end of the show for you to call. I always like to open up the show with a word of prayer. Father God, we just thank you right now, Father, for your renewed grace and mercy on our lives. Every day, Father, is a day to celebrate. Every day, Father, is another day to get it right. Every day, Father, is a day that we can look back and say thank you for what you have done for me. You have blessed us in so many ways, Father. You have kept us in so many ways. So thank you, Father, for just loving on us. Even when we did not and do not love ourselves, Father, you continue to show us how easy it is for you to pick us up, Father, when we fall down. I just thank you, Father. I now ask, Father, that you will bless, continue to bless this network, Father. As we all, Father, are seeking to go higher within this network, Father, we ask that you will touch us in a mighty way. Give us the right way to go, Father, so that we may touch somebody through this network. Bless, Father, all the leaders, Father, from Michelle to Hakim. Bless them, Father. Touch them in a mighty way and continue to give them spiritual insight on how this network should function. We just thank you, Father, for keeping us all the days of our lives. We give you all honor and praise for what you're doing and for what you are going to do. I feel a shaking happening, and I know, Father, that you are in the blessing business. So move, Father God, on our behalf. Move, Father. And we will stay out of the way. We thank you. And we love you. In Jesus' name, amen. I am, again, excited to be back live. I am happy. I am with joy. And I hope and pray that you are too. It is my job to release the captives, to teach God's word, and to stand on his promises. I am also here to offer my shoulder to those who need someone to lean on. As a Christian preacher, it is my job to bring you into the fullness thereof, to teach you about the love of Jesus. But I can take it a step further. My job also is to show you that God is love. That when you give your life over to Jesus, that you will experience a joy that you've never had before. That when you give your life over to Jesus, it's not saying that everything is going to be just perfect in your life. That's not what I'm saying. But what I'm saying, your spiritual state, you don't have to worry about your spirit anymore. Your physical, you're going to always struggle. But your spiritual, you will never have to worry about. So my job is to continue to show you the way and how you can focus more on Jesus, how you can learn about his word, and how to apply it to your life. That's my job. I want to speak about a testimony. That God is a God of healing and restoration. What does that mean to you? That God is a God of healing and restoration. The body itself, once your body is cut, or your skin is broken, the body begins to heal itself. Right then, it starts the healing process. So what happens when your soul is cut? God starts the healing process. Many of us have cuts and sores and wounds on our spirit, and we don't know where to turn. We don't know what to do. I urge you to give your life over to Jesus. Through the blood of Jesus, you can do anything. Anything but fail. God can be, and I want you to understand what I'm saying to you. Is that I'm saying that we all deal with stuff. We all deal with stuff. But in order to get the baggage off of you, you have to give it over to an entity, to somebody that can handle it. Because obviously, if you're having sores and cuts in your soul, that means that you cannot handle it. And if you cannot handle it, then that means that you have to give it over to somebody that can. The only person I know that can deal with all my burdens and my issues is God Almighty through His Son, Jesus the Christ. God will restore you to glory. God will restore you through victory. No matter what you lose, no matter what you've done, or no matter what you've left undone, God is a God of victory and restoration and healing. And He wants to heal you. He doesn't want you walking around here carrying burdens that He can take away. But yeah, I hear it in my spirit that there are some people that like to carry those burdens. And even for you, God can heal you. All you have to do is be willing to let God do His work. If you let God do His work in your life, everything will be all right. You will be able to see things clear. Somebody needed to hear that today. We have struggled enough as a people. It's time for some peace, some love, and some relaxation. This is what God desires for us. If you find yourself with that struggle, if you find yourself dealing with that issue and you just can't find your way out of it, I dare you to give it over to Jesus. You've tried sleeping pills, painkillers, morphine, Oxycontin, Percocets, wine, liquor, beer, you try to dull the pain. You've done all these things and nothing seems to work. Well, why don't you give Jesus a shot? Better yet, have you tried my Jesus? And even for Christians, let me be upfront with you. The Bible says that the sun rises on the just and the unjust alike. Know that you're going to have some days, too, where you're going to have to go to God and say, Lord, I need you to take this from me. bad things happen to good people. We have to remember that. Keep your mind and your body and all things focused on Him, and He will direct your path. You see, I could preach on that all throughout this whole hour, but we'll get into that at a later date. Because I'm here to release these captives. And it starts now. But I do have a word from the Lord. But whoever that was for, understand that God has His eyes and His hands on you. Let us have a word of prayer. Father God, it's me, your most humble servant. Lord, I decrease so that you may increase. More of you, less of me. And I thank you. I honor you and I love you. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to speak just on it for a second on this scripture, which comes out of the book of Romans, chapter 7, starting with verse 14, and it says, "So the trouble is not with the law, for it is spiritual and good. The trouble is with me, for I am all too human, a slave to sin. I don't really understand myself, for I want to do what is right, but I do not do it. Instead, I do what I hate. But if I know that what I am doing is wrong, this shows that I agree that the law is good. For I am not the one doing wrong. It is the sin living in me that does it. And I know that nothing good lives in me. That is, in my sinful nature. I want to do what is right, but I can't. I want to do what is good, but I don't. I don't want to do what is wrong, but I do it anyway. But if I do what I don't want to do, I am not really the one doing wrong. It is the sin living in me that does it. I have discovered this principle of life that when I want to do what is right, I inevitably do what is wrong. I love God's law with all my heart. But there is another power within me that is at war with my mind. This power makes me a slave to the sin that is still within me. Oh, what a miserable person I am. Who will free me from this life that is dominated by sin and death? Thank God. The answer is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. So you see how it is. In my mind, I really want to obey God's law. But because of my sinful nature, I am a slave to sin. For my subject today, naughty by nature. This particular scripture is very touchy. It's a very touchy subject for me and for many. For when you allow God to use you, you open yourself up to see your faults and the faults of man. It can easily become a serious issue if you leave it unchecked. Knowing and learning that at any given moment that your light can be extinguished is a very scary situation. especially if you don't know that there will be a light at the end of the tunnel. Mm. Many times we pray, we read, and we seek God, but to be honest, if I can be truly honest, and I want to throw out everybody that's a Jew, a Greek, a Gentile, a saint, and a sinner, we all have one foot in hell and one foot on a banana peel. But glory be to God for Jesus. Paul knew that he had to express himself openly to the Romans, but he had to do it in a style that they would understand. Now, Paul, being a man of stature and education, knew that the word of God had to go forth whether people liked it or not. You see, Rome was full of filth, disease, and sexual immorality. The high sat high, and the low had to eat the crumbs off the table, and even death and murder stained the land of Rome. And Paul states that all people have sinned, and all the world is guilty before God. From his elevated pulpit, Paul looked around and he saw the zealous Jews and the proud Greeks and the boastful Romans and the multitude of ordinary common sinners like ourselves. However, getting back to this story, you will find that, excuse me, many times in this ministry you have to let things out that you might not want to let out. But if I don't tell the truth, then the damnation falls on me. As I call myself a prophetical watchman, it is my duty to watch and see and pray. And when I see it, I am to speak about it. And when I don't speak about it, God whips me upside my head. But that's for another time, amen. I know that I have a lot to answer for in this life, and I do not want nor do I need any more damnation upon my head. However, Paul describes us all as people who are undeserving of God's love and adoration. In fact, God should have nothing to do with us because our righteousness are as filthy rags. Truly, we are all naughty by nature. But as you look at yourself, you may say, what can save us? What can help us to get us to that next level in our lives? Well, glory be to Jesus. Jesus is the only one who can pull us out of our stewed and sinful lives and bring us back before the throne of grace. I know that many times in this life, it is easy for us to do wrong, and it seems as though it is hard for us. In fact, the hardest thing in this world for us to do is to do right. But God is right. God is light. And through Jesus Christ, we can do all things because he strengthens us to do so. He gives us the necessary tools in order for us to be clean, washed white as snow. You may be asking, what are these tools, Pastor? What did God give us in order to prove his power and his love in our lives? Well, first is a choice. We can choose whether to follow God or we can choose if we want to stay in this world of uncleanliness. To your peers, it might not mean nothing, but do you remember me saying that God loves you? To God, it means everything. If you know it or not, it hurts God that his creation has to be born in sin instead of clothed in righteousness. The fact that we have learned about God and the saving grace of his son Jesus, not just to see his glory and majesty for ourselves, but the second tool is obedience. God desires us to walk away from that sinful nature and to open ourselves up to living for him and him only. Obedience is hard by itself, but if you add faith to your obedience, there is nothing that you can't conquer. The third tool is sacrifice. Living a godly life is a must. It is a sacrifice, allowing God to be the head of your life. It is a sacrifice because when he is the head, though you might want to do something wicked, you find that it is not pleasing unto God, and then you find yourself not doing it. You may want to live your life a certain way. You may want to find, and then when you live your life that certain way, and you find out that it makes God mad and upset, you want to find yourself on the right side of God. But when you use these tools as a way of life, you are ridiculed. You are talked about. You are oppressed. You are hurt. You are dazed. And sometimes you get a little confused. But at the end of the day, God continues to be your guiding light. So, yes, this life is a sacrifice, but it is the greatest sacrifice that one could ever make. But the final tool that makes us white as snow is the confession and the receiving of the blood of Jesus on your head. The blood of Jesus was shed for me way back on Calvary, that blood that gives me strength from day to day, and it never loses its power, for it reaches to that highest of mountains, and it flows down through that lowest of valley. Y'all know that song. It will never, ever lose its power. Yes, we are naughty by nature. Yes, we all deserve the hell fire. And yes, God should have taken his hands off us a long time ago. And yes, we are nothing, because without God, we are nothing. But it's something about us that draws God unto us like an insect to a flame. It is the blood of his most precious son, Jesus, that even the angels who come down from heaven unto earth have to bow at the presence of the blood of Jesus. Even the demons who crawl through the bowels of hell have to bow and run at the presence of the blood of Jesus. Being naughty by nature means nothing when you have a chance to be saved and redeemed. Know that there is a naughty side to us all, but we ought to be focused on serving God. This is what Paul was trying to urge to the Romans, that yes, I do have a sinful nature, and yes, sometimes my sinful nature comes in and it will take over certain things, but glory be to God that I have a way out, and my way out is Jesus, and all I have to do is call on him. Yes, I know my life is not right. Yes, I know I'm dealing with some issues. Yes, I know I always complain. Yes, I know that things are not right. Yes, I know that at the end of the day, I can turn to Jesus, but all I have to do is express the fact that I am naughty by nature, express the fact that I'm not all that, express the fact that, yes, there is a time in my life that I fall short. There are times in our lives that we fall short. And when we fall short, when we know that we're doing wrong, when we know that there ought to be a change, that's when you have to do things right. You have to admit to yourself that it's time for a shaking in the atmosphere. It's time that things be done differently in my life. If I know that I'm messing up, if I know that I'm allowing sin to win in my life, it's time for me to start getting things in order. Because you never know when your light is going to be extinguished. And I can tell you that I have not worked this hard in my life to be this Christian that I can be, and all the struggles that I went through from calling on the name of Jesus. I have not got this far for God to drop me off right now. I have not got this far in my life to experience a presence without my Jesus. Hell is separation from God. I do not want to experience being separated from my Father. Praise be to God that he looked beyond all my faults, all my sin and all my wickedness and all my evil ways, and he saw the need for me and for you and for everybody else to be saved. Thank God that he opened up the door of righteousness. That door being Jesus the Christ. Thank you, Father, for saving a wretch like me. You see, y'all, when I was knee-deep in sin, you know, whenever I preach to you, I preach to myself first. So I can speak on my life. I was knee-deep in sin, y'all, and Satan had his hand around me. I was always told that if you live a life and your life is all carefree, you better be concerned. Because Satan doesn't deem you as a threat. But even for me, when I was knee-deep in sin, he kept his foot on my neck because he did not want me to see what God was, what God had for me. You see, Satan tapped into my future, and he saw that I would be a mighty, mighty preacher if I just gave my life on over to God. So he wanted to keep his hand. He wanted to keep me in that naughty phase. In that sinful wickedness, in that dirty stuff. He wanted to keep me there. He wanted me to stay there so that I would not experience the love of God. And that on that great day when these eyes closed, that my soul would then go to him because I had not accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior. But who can wash away all my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Who can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Yes, we all have that naughty nature. Yes, we all deal with certain issues in life. Yes, like Paul, we know that we ought to do right, and sometimes we find ourselves doing wrong. But all you got to do is give it all over to Jesus. This is what Paul was trying to urge to the Romans, that they need to turn away from their wicked nature and to try very hard to please God. Just like that man or woman that you love so much, you ought to be putting the same effort and the same time into serving and pleasing God. The way you love your children, you ought to love God more. If it's your desire, if you truly want to move away from this naughty and sinful nature, you must do one thing. You must turn your life over to God completely. If you do not give your life over to God, you will find yourself constantly fighting and constantly fighting and constantly fighting with this sinful life. And don't think that all us Christians have it right in order, because a lot of times we don't. That's why I always say that the church is the greatest entity known to this society, because the church is a hospital for sinners and a spiritual empowerment for believers. Sometimes, y'all, all the Christians in the church need to be saved by grace. You see, I'm not going to touch on the lost folk that's out here, if I'm not going to touch on our own back doors, because many Christians in church need to be saved. Still messing around with that naughty nature. We whoop and holler, scream and shout in church, and yet still we allow Satan to use us. God is not pleased. If we desire to move from victim to victor, or victim to victorious, I'll say that, give it over to Jesus. In fact, aren't you homesick? Don't you feel a tug on your life? Don't you feel that calling? Don't you hear that voice in your ear? Don't you get that feeling upon you? When you feel a tug, do you feel that tug? Is God calling you? Maybe you've been called to deliver the word. Is he calling you? Is he calling you out of your naughtiness? Out of your sinful nature? Is he calling you to be a disciple of his? What is God calling you to do? Whatever it is, do it. We've all been naughty because it's our nature. But we can be sin-free because we are heirs to salvation. May God bless you and may God keep you. I always like to close out my messages by giving you an opportunity to give your life over to Jesus. If there is one here and you have been struggling and you have been dealing with issues all this time, now is the time that you give your life over to Jesus. Pray this prayer with me. Lord Jesus, I love you. I ask that you will come into my heart. I believe that you lived, that you died, and that you rose again. Forgive me of my sins. Now, Lord, be the Lord of my life. Cleanse me. I accept you as my Father. Show me your will and your way for my life. I am yours. You are mine. I will never let your hand go. In Jesus' name, amen. If you pray that prayer and you truly confess your sins before the Almighty God and you have a desire to change and to live a life, a new life, following the commandments of God, happy birthday. You have now been given a brand new life. You have now been given a way to heaven. Sincerely now. You can't just say it just to say it and think that you're going to get there. But if you sincerely meant it, happy birthday. Now I urge you to find a Bible-based church that preaches and teaches the Bible. Go, join, support the ministry, be ye baptized, and live a life worthy of being called God's servant. May God bless you on this endeavor. Amen. Amen. Brother Hakim, do we have anybody on the phone that may want to give us a word or anything?
Yes, we actually have two people on the line. Let's start with our first caller.
Amen. Welcome to the Jubilee Affair.
Oh. Good evening, Pastor Townsend.
Good evening, Brother Darius. How you doing?
Doing good this evening. Just listening to the word and just want to say I taught Sunday school lesson today from the background scripture, Genesis 28, verses 10 through 22, talking about Jacob forms a relationship with God.
Amen. You want to hear something funny?
What?
I taught that same Sunday school lesson today.
Oh, no.
God, it's good. But go ahead, Doctor. I'll let you expound.
We talked about the first topic about where is God, and I raised the question, where is God in this world that we what we see in the world today?
Hmm.
Okay. I said, where is he, like the unbelievers who lost everything in those fires in California?
Mm-hmm. And you know, that's a big topic and would be on everybody's minds, is where is God in the midst of all of that? Where is God in the midst of destruction and confusion and problems? Well, God is right there. God is right there, and I'll tell you why. Because somebody survived. Somebody was blessed, and they survived. If God was not there, nobody would have survived. Nobody would have made it out. So God is always there because he blessed somebody to make it out. Amen?
Amen.
What else you got for us, Brother Darius?
Just keeping prayer for my relatives in hospice care. She's been probably down since probably when my grandfather and her sister died within a 3 to 4 month time period, and she got cancer. And then I didn't want to go to the hospice care because it reminded me too much of my grandfather.
Understood. Well, you know, along with your family and friends, and we've had an influx of prayer requests this past week. Let us do just that. Father God, we just thank you, Father, for your steadfast love, Father. And we ask you right now, Father, that you would touch all those who have been affected by the fire, Father. All those who have been affected by any disease, Father, all those who have been affected by violence, Father, all those deaths that we have experienced within this week, Father, we need you to do some comforting, Father. We need you to let your ministering angels speak a word unto us, Father, because, Father, we don't understand this death, Father. We don't understand diseases. We don't understand the plagues, Father, because we serve a God that can do all things. So, Father, we ask right now that you would touch in a mighty way, Father, that you would bring us back full circle, Father, understanding and knowing your will for our lives, Father. Sometimes, Father, the will is kind of hard, Father. Sometimes we have to deal with some stuff that we don't want to, Father, but we know that without a shadow of a doubt, that we trust and believe in you, that you will make all things right. Comfort right now, Father. Touch right now, Father. Be with us. Wipe the tears from our eyes. We need you. We need you, Father, to step in and to make our path straight. When we ask, where is God, show us your grace and your mercy. We thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Darius, for always coming with a good word, sir.
You're welcome.
Amen. All right, Brother Akim, you say we have one more online?
Yes, sir. Bringing them in now.
Amen. All right, welcome to the Jubilee Affair.
Hello.
Hello. Welcome.
Hi, Pastor Townsend.
How you doing? Where, do I know that voice?
Yes, you do.
Okay, I thought so. And no, nobody says Pastor like this person that I know. I know exactly who this is. How you doing, Sister Dolores?
Fine. This is the first time I listened to your show, and I enjoyed it.
Amen. Yeah. Amen. Oh, thank you. Thank you. I'm so happy that you had an opportunity to listen, and it's a true blessing. I want to give a little history. Sister Dolores was in my last church that I pastored. She was the missionary president. Amen.
Amen.
God did a mighty work through her. Amen. He's continuing to do a mighty work through her. But amen. So what did you think about the show today, Sister Dolores?
I loved it, Pastor. I loved it.
Amen. Amen.
It was something that I needed to hear, and yeah, I loved it.
Amen. Amen. Well, I thank you so much for calling in and giving us that gift of love, because, you know, it goes a long way. And as you know me, you know that I'm all about love and trying to help the next person get there. And so I am grateful that we got a new listener today. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And I will continue to, pray for you and your family. How's everybody doing?
We're doing okay. But, yeah, Pastor, please, can you continue
Amen.
To pray for us?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Right now, let's have a word of prayer. We still have time. Father God, we just thank you for Sister Dolores and her family, Father. All my children in ministry over there, Father, I just thank you for exhorter Sheila Wilcox, Father. I thank you for my baby, who I said is like my daughter, little Ariana and Brent and the baby. And we just thank you, Father, for all of them, Father, for they continue to shower this pastor with love and in truth, Father. So I ask right now, Father, that the same love that they showed me will be expressed to them tenfold. That you would remind them of your love, Father, for them. And whatever it is that they are in the need of, Father, that you would make it so with great haste, that you would touch them in a mighty way. Continue to bless them and keep them in all that they do, Father, in all that they need and in all that they are. We thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. All right, thank you, Sister Dolores, for calling in, and keep calling in, and we look forward to hearing from you again.
I will, Pastor. Thank you, and God bless you.
Thank you. God bless you as well.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Amen. Amen. Do we have anybody else, Brother Akim, that's called in?
We have some folks on the line. I'm thinking they're enjoying this great conversation and your
Amen.
Words of wisdom and power. We just need them to press the number one if they want to go live. We only have about 4 minutes left, so now's your time.
Amen.
Oh, wait,
Amen.
Someone just answered the call.
All right. Welcome to the Jubilee Affair.
Good evening.
Good evening.
This is Michelle.
Hey, amen.
I enjoyed the word. Welcome back, Pastor. I know that you have been under the weather, and
yes,
we've been holding down HubNet online radio, waiting on you to bring the word. I have been getting a few inboxes in regards to when is the pastor coming back, when is the
amen.
Next show. So I'm glad that you brought the word for us. I posted up in social media that we needed to pray for some people. Through your absence, I've had a good friend of my mom get diagnosed with cancer. Waiting on lab results for my mom with her lungs. You know, my godson's friend got killed last night. It's just been a lot of turmoil, and the devil is just wreaking havoc. So I know where two or more are gathered, especially in regards to HubNet Online Radio. We're going to bring the word, and we're going to bring the prayer. To pray for healing and to get us through
Amen.
This holiday season. There's a lot of people hurting. There's a lot of people going through. Those just the ones that touched and agree with me, and reached out to me about some things. So I just want to share that with you. And throughout the holiday season, this is the show before Thanksgiving. I want everybody to be mindful of that. Not just this is a holiday that the United States. Practices or whatever we call ourselves doing, but give thanks for what God has blessed us with. More along the lines of taking this time to give thanks for what you do have and helping those that don't have. So I ask that you keep my family, keep my mom in prayer, keep her pray for healing throughout the week. Whenever you get a moment of silence and you're putting everybody at the church on your prayer list, and just keep us in prayer down here, up there in New York.
Amen. And let me ask you that we do this, Sister Michelle, that you would send me all their names, and I would add them to our prayer list at our church and onto our bulletin so that we can keep them in constant prayer. And I would like to spend the rest of this time doing just that as well. Father God, again, this is a time, Father, of joyous, a time of family and friends. And some people, Father, don't have any family and friends, Father, and they sit at home and it is a lonely time. And during this time, Father, statistically speaking, we have a lot of deaths during the holiday season, Father. But we just ask, Father, that you will release your spirit of life upon us, Father, that you will touch us, Father, that you will heal our bodies, Father, of cancer, of any diseases, Father, anything that tries to plague us right now, Father, that you will touch us in a mighty way. And, Father, and if it is not your will that we be healed, you are still God and God alone, Father. But we stand on the fact, Father, that your word says that you will heal us, Father, if we ask. And so, Father God, we're asking right now for a healing to take place, an overall healing for everybody, Father, within the sound of my voice, and everybody, Father, that we are praying for, that you will touch in a mighty way right now, Father. Remove anything that is negative from our lives, Father. Touch in a mighty, mighty way. We are your children, Father. And we love you. And we know that you love us. So make this happen right now, Father. I'm not asking. I'm expecting you to move. Because your word says that you will. We thank you. All results will come back clear. We thank you that nobody will lose their lives. We thank you. We love you. This is our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Thank you. And on behalf of Sister Michelle and Brother Hakim and the HubNet Online Network, this is Pastor D. Townsend. You have been listening to the Jubilee Affair. We are signing off. God bless.